Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. The choices we make in our middle years contribute to the quality of the rest of our lives. Those that served us well in the first half of life may not work for us in the second. Dr. Paula Payne Harden, founder and director of Midlife Consulting Services and the author of What Are You Doing with the Rest of Your Life? Choices in Midlife, wove together research, personal experiences, stories, and exercises to show how to live and age well. She wrote the book when she was in midlife herself. Now, later, she says she's finding life richer, more fulfilling than she thought possible. She encourages us to embrace our aging. Unexpected joys await. And Dr. Paula Payne Harden, author of What Are You Doing with the Rest of Your Life? Choices in Midlife, is our guest on This Week in America. Dr. Harden, welcome to the program. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you. I've been looking forward to this conversation.
And I have too, in reading the book, because I'm in that part of life now where, okay, I'm going to see if my choices I made a few decades ago are going to pay off now. So a lot that we can talk about on the program today. What was the inspiration for writing this book? What are you doing with the rest of your life? Why did you write this?
Well, I wrote it because I was in my early 50s and I was scared to death. I'd look around and I'd see different people 20, 30 years older than me, and some of them I did not want to end up that way. And because I was in school getting an advanced degree, I decided I would study adult development. How do we adults grow and change over the lifespan? And I did it for myself. I wanted to know how to be sure that I had a good life. That's what I wanted.
Well, the interesting thing is we hope when we take that assessment that it works out, that we found positive things in our life. And you mentioned this was a while back when you decided to tackle the subject. How has it worked out for you? Have you made adjustments along the way for this part of your life?
I have two examples. I'm now 89, so I did not expect to have as many rewards in life at this age, and I would not want to go back to be younger. I am a really happy camper, even though my life, I don't travel anymore and all of that, but the inner life is so rich, and the love of nature and the love of people and the joy that is within me. I would love, if I could, Rick, to tell an example of negative aging and an example of positive aging.
Yes, please do that because it's so important. Go ahead and give us those examples.
Yeah, okay. I had a friend, this is when I was in my 50s. Her name was Nancy, and she just had returned from a visit with her 90-year-old mother on the East Coast. And this is what she said to me: "Paula, I thought about your research and teaching work so often while visiting my mother. I found myself collapsing, regressing into a childish role around her. She's so negative and self-centered. I ask her how she slept, she'd say awful. I'd ask her how she felt, she'd say terrible, you know. And so then she just said, Mom will never change. She'll stay in that big house, feel sorry for herself, and try to make the rest of us feel guilty. And she said, I just found myself clenching my jaw all the time. I talked to my mother through clenched jaws." And so I call these the clenched jaw people.
Well, yes, and I know them. I know some of them.
Yes, don't we all? And then for positive aging, I took a group that is newly emerging and I think have a lot of power, and they're called Seasoned Elders. And this is a poem I wrote about the Seasoned Elders that are happening today. It's just called Needed Seasoned Elders. Attention, attention. This is an age when the tides are unpredictable, dangers lurk, cruel and useless wars are set in motion, human greed ignores human need. To whom can we turn? Where are the visionaries who have the skills and wisdom and integrity required? Where are leaders sensitive to evolution's inner compass? Some see a force field quietly forming, seasoned, empowered elders gather. These courageous ones, distinct from those just getting old, use everything in life as curriculum. Baptized through their many failures and losses, tested on every side, they keep on keeping on. Wisdom keepers, they are in touch with possibility. Their playful spirits are wild and liberated. Listening deeply, they see beneath the surface. Refusing to stay stuck in quagmires of fear and negativity, they transcend and yet include. Watching and praying, they know our blue-green home can discover and recover its intrinsic harmony. Capable of emancipated love that knows no opposite, they're midwifing a world that works for everyone. This is the next heart step in our swiftly turning planet's mysterious evolution.
That poem is so well done. And our guest on the program is Paula Payne Harden. The book that she has written and we're talking about today, or What Are You Doing With the Rest of Your Life? The book is available at Amazon, all of the usual places. In the book, you talk about every life has turning points. From these turning points, when we hit those, it can make a big difference in our lives. What do you mean by turning points, and what were some in your life, the turning points that you had to deal with?
Well, I have a real good example for that. I had just married a man named David, and it was we had both been married before. And while we were dating with friends and whatever, we'd have a cocktail and sit and talk and laugh and debrief after our days. And after we got married, trying to put together two families, they were all older children except for one. And so we really guarded our little time with our cocktails, and we would process the day. But then we had two, and then sometimes we would have three, and we got into a couple of big fights that were alcohol-induced. So we just sat down and we said, we have to do something about this. So we decided what we would do. Instead of drinking cocktails when we both came home, we'd take a walk. And he was the mathematical type, so he drove around and figured out a two-mile radius for us to walk. Pretty soon on Saturdays, we looked around for forest preserves and did 4 and 5 miles. And then we took a vacation and went out to Colorado and climbed in the mountains there. And you know what happened? Finally, we met some other friends, 6 of us, and we were all people who understood that it was important to look at the deeper parts of life. And so we ended up eventually hiking in the Himalayas.
Oh, amazing.
And this all happened because we looked at our drinking, and decided that we had to do something about it. So that is a turning point.
Boy, it really is, and I can see people now thinking as they go through those turning points in their lives, and everybody goes through those particular points in their lives. Our guest on the program is Paula Payne Harden. She is the author of What Are You Doing With the Rest of Your Life? For what information on the book's available at Amazon, all of the usual places. Talk about some of the qualities of successful and unsuccessful aging. Let's talk about successful first. What are some of the qualities of people who successfully age?
Yes, well, this was a good study. It was my discovery study for my dissertation, and then it was also a big sample study done through a company called Market Facts in Chicago. And we all found out that people who are maturing positively, for one thing, have a generous view of others and of the world, which includes maintaining a forgiving stance toward faults and inadequacies in themselves and others. You know, you just don't carry a grudge. You don't constantly go around criticizing and judging. You form caring and positive relationships with nature, and you're concerned about the quality of the environment. These are all the types of qualities of those who are aging positively, and then the rewards that will come if you do are just joy and peace and I'm just looking here where people who are maturing positively describe themselves as spiritual. They trust some higher power or God, or they trust the life process itself. And they're committed to continued learning. They're taking workshops or that kind of thing. And they're hopeful people. They take their dreams seriously, and their lives demonstrate that some dreams do come true.
Our guest on the program, Paula Payne Harden, she's the author of What Are You Doing With the Rest of Your Life? Talk now about the qualities of an unsuccessful person who is aging, traits they have that really hold them back and prevent them from enjoying the part of aging that that we all will experience. What are some of those characteristics for those that are unsuccessful at aging?
Yeah, it's like the example I gave in the beginning. You'd sort of end up with a clenched jaw if you're with them. For one thing, they have a tendency to blame others for problems and their feelings of isolation. And they have a tendency to alienate other people. And they're difficult to be with for more than a brief time. And they have moodiness. They're irritable. They're thoughtless. They have low vitality, chronic anger, meanness of spirit. And they change. They cling to rigid opinions, unable to set them aside long enough to listen to another's view. And they have the inability to enjoy and adapt to the changing world. And here was an easy one to measure. They have a need to hang on to money, whereas the people who are aging successfully give more financially than do most people.
Interesting.
And a high use of alcohol, tranquilizers, or other forms of escape, such as TV or frenetic activity, and tendency to create guilty feelings in other people.
Yes.
And they focus on fears. One doctor told me that some of his geriatric patients, all they talk about is what goes in their mouth and what comes out of their body. That's the limit of their
Yeah, that my wife and I joke about that often. When you're with older people, basically people our age, that's what a conversation comes down to. What pills are you taking and how regular are you? I mean, that's pretty much the conversation. You know, you had mentioned before about enjoying the outdoors, enjoying nature. You live in a beautiful part of Florida along the Atlantic Ocean. How important is that for you, just to get outside and to appreciate the beauty that's out there and to see the ocean, this magnificent ocean that's at your doorstep?
Oh, I know. It's so magnificent. And the energy that the ocean gives us, you know, just breathing that fresh air that comes over the ocean from Africa usually. And it's magnificent. And I love Africa anyway. It's a beautiful land, so I feel connected. But, as I sit on my front porch, I feel connected to the little lizards. I feel connected to the birds. I feel connected to the beautiful blooms that are all around us here in this beautiful area of Florida. There's a connection now with all. We're not separate, different units. We're connected together with people and with life in general.
What's it been like for you in dealing with people aging, not only yourself, but in others, the consulting that you've done with people, and you're able to guide people through to enjoy senior years? It's at the beginning of a whole new life for all of us in that category. How rewarding is that for you?
Well, as I think I understand you, there are some sorrows. I have a friend who died about a month ago, and we had been friends. His name was Bill, and we had been friends for 50 years, and we're part of the group that hiked the Himalayas. And And they lived right near me. And his wife, who is just so dear to me, left just a few months before he did. I mean, these are the losses that we will have. But that isn't what I dwell on. Sure, I do my my crying and everything, but they're released, you know? And guess what? I had their friendship for 50 years.
Wow.
So what's not to be grateful, you know, rather than look at what I'm missing and what I'm losing.
When people read your book, what are you doing with the rest of your life? What do you hope the takeaway is? What's maybe the most important lesson or two that people you hope take away after reading the book?
I want them to follow their deepest heart's desires. I want people to take time to find out what it is they really want, and then to take steps and be shocked at how life seems to meet you and help you go to the next step.
It's interesting because so often you talk to people falling into that seniors category that it almost seems like they're finding themselves for the first time. They've spent so many decades pleasing other people and doing what was expected. Does it sometimes take getting to your senior years before you fully appreciate and understand who you are?
Well, adulthood has, people have agreed, have basically three stages, early, middle, and late. In the early part, we're busy with doing our careers and raising children and all of that part of life. And then in midlife, all of that changes. And what we thought was valuable as a young person no longer has the same magnetism for us. And so we have to reevaluate all of this. And if we can do that, we find that the caring that we learned in our little families in the first part of life becomes caring for a larger arena, our town, our country, our world. And we begin to care for all that is around us. And then as we get really old, which I certainly am now, then it's just joy in what is around you, rejoicing in the beauty of the leaf, of the flower, of the people, of, you know, and even though my body isn't quite what it used to be, and I'm very hard of hearing and all of that, but life is worth it. It is worth it.
How important is it to simplify life, to get to the point where we need to slow things down and sit and be able to enjoy the sound of the ocean? We want to be able to sit and enjoy the changing of the leaves. How important is it to simplify our lives?
It is so important. And I have these friends who just passed away, were collectors, and now their children, adult children in their 50s and 60s, are having to sort through everything and try to make sense of it. And if I can give a gift to my children and those who come after me, it will be that I simplify my life. I sort through things. I let them go. I pass them on. And I don't need a big house. I don't need a lot of clothes anymore. I don't need a lot of valuable things. I just need things that warm my heart and allow me to have more space just to be. Every afternoon, people know they can stop by and say hi to me at about 4:30. I'm on my front porch just sitting and listening to life.
That is a great lesson for all of us. Dr. Harton, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. The book is What Are You Doing With the Rest of Your Life? Choices in Midlife. The book available Amazon, all of the usual places. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Thank you so much for being with us on the program. Would love to do this again, continue our conversation. So many words of wisdom, thoughts of wisdom that you bring out to us today. Thank you for being with us on the program. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure being with you, Rick.
Thank you. Paula Payne Harden is our guest. The book is What Are You Doing With the Rest of Your Life? Choices in Midlife. Book, again, available wherever books are sold. And you'll link on directly to Dr. Harden's Amazon page by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.